Peace of Christ be with you. One notice this morning, 7 o'clock tonight, parking lot of the Keppel, Foursquare Dodgeball. Tomorrow, don't show up tonight. Thanks, Paul. Tomorrow, and for the first time in the history of Hope College, the Foursquare Dodgeball will be co-ed. So, Women of Hope, represent. How does faith speak to our real life? And more specifically, how does faith, the resources of the church, speak to some of our deepest pains? What we might call suffering. In our memory, in our body, how does faith speak to healing? True healing. Today we're privileged to have Dawn Eden with us to talk about some of her wisdom around redemptive suffering. She's been brought in by the St. Benedict Forum. She's going to be giving a lecture at 3 o'clock this afternoon in Moss Auditorium on the healing of memory, and at 7 p.m. tonight around the issues of chastity. Would you please welcome our guest to the pulpit of Hope College, Dawn Eden.
Thank you. Thank you, and good morning. Let's start with a reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." The word of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us all to think as God does, and we can do this. As St. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ, but like Peter in the gospel we just heard, we can't do it alone. We need Jesus' own grace to help us to see things as he sees them, and we especially need this help from Jesus if we are to gain a godly perspective on the problem of pain. I know this from my own experience because as a child, I suffered sexual abuse, and as an adult, I spent many years trying to find a place of peace. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to share with you some reflections on how Jesus heals our memories. Last spring, I was invited to speak on healing of memories at a church on a Native American reservation. Now, if you know anything about reservations, you know that they tend to have a lot of suffering, including high rates of poverty, addiction, and abuse. I had just finished giving my talk when a middle-aged woman in the front row raised her hand to ask a question. She was clearly hurting, her brow was furrowed, and her speech was halting. As she struggled to get her words out, I admired her courage in publicly revealing her pain. She said, "Is there anything in the Bible?" And I thought, good, I know my Bible. I should be on firm ground here. But then she went on, and she asked, "Is there anything in the Bible about people who recover their memory, about people who block out their memories of trauma and then get their memories back?" Whoa. I had to stop for a moment and reflect. No one had ever asked me that question. And, you know, to be honest with you, my first thought was that there couldn't be anything in the Bible relevant to remembering forgotten pain. I thought, you know, that's just, you know, something that became known only in the 1980s when people became conscious of the problems related to PTSD, which I personally suffer from my trauma. But then I thought again, and I realized that in fact, the woman's question touched on a very important theme in the New Testament. And so here's what I said. There are many incidents in the Bible where a person blocks out a traumatic memory and only recalls it later. We see it all through the Gospels. Think of all the times when Jesus, as he heads toward Jerusalem, tells his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer and be rejected and scourged and spit upon and killed and rise again on the third day. It was traumatic for the disciples to hear that. First of all, they had no concept of a suffering Messiah. They were expecting a warrior Messiah, one who would take back Israel from the Roman occupation. So the idea of a suffering Messiah scandalized them. What's more, the disciples loved Jesus more than they loved anyone. Hearing him predict his own death was as though they were hearing their own father tell them he would be beaten, humiliated, and killed. It was too much for them to handle. So what did they do? They blocked it out. And so when Jesus' prediction of his passion came true, the disciples were blindsided, having never expected that their leader would be taken away from them. They scattered. And with this, we see the real problem that happens when people block out memories of past trauma. Practically every time Jesus predicted his passion, he would also say that after 3 days, he would rise. But because the disciples blocked out their memories of Jesus' predictions of his passion, they also blocked out his predictions of his resurrection. So when he was crucified, their hope was gone. But what happens after Jesus rises? When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb expecting to find Jesus and instead found it empty, in Luke 24, they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Remember what he told you when he was with you in Galilee." And they remembered his words. The first thing Jesus does when he rises from the dead is that he restores our memory. We see this beautifully in Jesus' encounter with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The two disciples don't recognize him as he approaches them. They're speaking to one another about what just happened in Jerusalem, Jesus' crucifixion. When Jesus asks what they're discussing, their faces become downcast. They look at the ground. Isn't that like what we do when we're traumatized? We don't want other people to see our pain. And the disciples tell Jesus about the events of the Passion, but they speak as though they had no hope. They blocked out his predictions of his death because they couldn't imagine a suffering Messiah. Now, Jesus could respond by immediately revealing his identity to the disciples, but he doesn't. Instead, before showing them who he really is, he first heals their memories. He uses the words of the prophets to remind them of what he himself had said during his earthly life, that the Messiah would enter into his glory through suffering. So with the disciples from Emmaus, with the women who come to the tomb, before they can fully appreciate and share the good news of the resurrection, they first need to see their own personal past within the light of the Easter sunrise. And they do this by remembering their own encounter with Jesus. And we can do this too. And just as when Jesus healed the disciples' memories on the road to Emmaus, after that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread, so too, when we remember our encounter with Jesus, when we remember how he was with us in all our lives, including the dark places, he always loved us, bringing us the love that reminds us that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Father. When we remember this, then we recognize Jesus in his word. We recognize him in his neighbor. We recognize him in worship, in communion. It's the grace of memory that enables this recognition, a memory purified in the fire of Jesus' love. Go in peace, and may God bless you.